My name is John Erling, and today's date is June 13, 2013. So, Mike, state your full name, your date of birth, and your present age, please.
Michael Terry Huff, 6'15 in 1955, almost 58 years old, live here in Tulsa.
We're recording this interview in the recording facilities here of Voices of Oklahoma. Where were you born?
Tulsa, Oklahoma, Hillcrest Hospital. Born and bred here. Love the city.
Your mother's name, maiden name, where she came from and where she was born.
My mother is Madeline Mae Murphy. She came from Enid along with my dad, William Alfred Huff. I'm a product of their nearly 50-year marriage. They're both deceased. My mother's family actually came from Ireland in the late 1800s, made their way through Boston, which I think is kind of ironic. It's kind of played into this case. And wound up near Ooligah, Oklahoma, living down the road from the Dogarn Ranch. Actually, my relatives worked as hands on the Dogarn Ranch, where Will Rogers grew up, the McSpadden family, I believe, is ranch. So, you know, I'm kind of ingrained here in Oklahoma.
And then your father, what did he do for a living?
My dad, after he got out of World War II and had a couple jobs, realized that Enid, Oklahoma wasn't, you know, a real land opportunity at that time. Wound up coming to Tulsa and was a U.S. postal worker for nearly 40 years. Retired from there and lived 3 months after he retired, which kind of gave me a whole different perspective on that golden retirement year.
So how old was he when he died?
He was 62 when he died. You know, I'm nearing that age, so I just retired from one thing and just stepped right into another the next day. I don't need to sit around. Don't have any hobbies.
And then your mother was the homekeeper.
Yes, my mother raised 4 kids. 3 of us are still alive. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady. I was able to move her in with me her last few months of her life. It changed me and my 2 kids forever. She was a great lady.
They both then were very supportive of you and your family and education and all that.
They just had high school educations, and my dad really wanted me to be a lawyer. And from about age 3 or 4 or 5, from what I hear, I had always wanted to be a policeman. My dad didn't know where that was going to take me, didn't realize that that would take me to the happiness that that job did, but he was real proud of me. I had been nominated for Officer of the Year while he was still alive, and then had won an Officer of the Year award when he was still alive. So I think he realized that it made me happy, and I had a bit of success with it. He died before a lot of the successes I've had, but I'm sure he's aware of them.
Where did you go to elementary school?
Well, I went to elementary at Franklin Elementary at 11th and Yale, where I was captain of the safety patrol, by the way. Then we moved from there to over near TU, south of TU, and my junior high was Woodrow Wilson Junior High School. From there, I went to Rogers High School, graduating in 73. Then I started off at Tulsa Junior College and, you know, was looking forward to just this 4-year college experience. And I think maybe I just turned 19. I heard of a program at the police department that was going to be brand new, a federally funded program for guys that were still in college to get their foot in the door at the police department. They call it the cadet program. So while I was going to TJC, I applied for that. January of 75, I was hired. It was a full-time job. He had wonderful assignments. I didn't realize how much background that would give me to be a successful policeman. But in the records division, you can find all that minutia of data to help you. Mug and print, where you learn how to deal with criminals while you're taking their fingerprints and pictures. As well as I was a hit-and-run investigator. So that really gave me the taste of investigation. All the while I was finishing TJC and then bouncing around trying to get my additional college credits, I can say I dropped out of a couple other colleges after TJC because as soon as I turned 21, well, I fell into this like nobody's business. I was making arrests day and night. When you arrest somebody, if you work 4 to midnight or 7 at night till 3 in the morning, you're back in court at 8:30 in the morning. No matter what you had planned, no matter what college classes that you needed to travel to Tahlequah to go to Northeastern, didn't matter. So I was in court a good 3 or 4 days a week with the number of arrests I was making. So I was able to drop out of Northeastern, and I was also able to drop out of the University of Tulsa, too. I use that as an example with my kids. Get it together before you take off on this adventure. I had this wonderful conversation with my dad when I was a senior in high school. I mean, I remember like it was yesterday. We were watching TV on a Friday night and watching a John Wayne movie, Hatari. I was just so intrigued with that adventure. And my dad, you know, he never really super opened up, you know, from that generation. And he talked about how after World War II, he wanted to come back and live a life of adventure. But he started having kids, and the responsibility that came with it kind of pushed that adventure to the side and made him go to the post office and make sure there was a paycheck coming in every couple of weeks. But his advice was, if you can make a living in a life of adventure and help people, go for it. All the while, he was trying to push me towards wanting to go to law school, but I really took that to heart. I've since had that conversation a couple times with my son, who always wants to go back to it. Here's a kid that was going into his senior year in high school in honors classes. He just passed his Eagle Scout test night before last, and here he wants to be a Tulsa policeman and maybe someday an FBI agent, but he's the kind of kid that could grow up and be a doctor with his science and math skills. That life adventure deal is a draw.
Are you trying to push him away from police work?
You know what? It was an honorable job. My dad didn't push me. He just guided me. My son, wherever he wants to go and wants to do, you know, there's people lining up to help him because they see the kind of kid he is. I mean, he took on a huge Eagle Scout project preparing gardens for all of the fallen officers at the Tulsa Police Memorial. It was the biggest project they ever had that they didn't have to pay for. He raised $4,500 on his own. If I can just guide him, he's got the power and the drive to go on.
So as you get into your police work for the Tulsa Police Department, you eventually are a homicide detective.
In 1980, I took a promotional test. At that time, you had to be promoted to get into the detective division. I took that test, and there were a couple spots open when I was promoted, and I could have either gone to the narcotics section or to the evening shift homicide section. I had a great mentor by the name of Chief Chuck Jordan, who was a sergeant at the time. Chuck said, oh, man, you'll be a great homicide detective. I didn't think it was enough excitement for me, but I kind of changed the way we did business there, and it turned out to be plenty of excitement. And I learned so much from Chuck Jordan. He is such a smart, streetwise guy, and it finally meshed. I stayed there forever.
How many years were you the homicide detective?
From 1980 to 1989, I was just a homicide investigator on night shift. And then from 89 to 91, I made sergeant, went back to patrol, but the administration saw the Wheeler case that I was so deeply involved in by that time, and they couldn't give that to somebody else. In another case, I had a young housewife that got murdered and sexually assaulted in East Tulsa by the name of Janora Stevens. I was just on the verge of solving that case. So they said, hey, go back to patrol, learn those supervision skills, take these two cases with you. You can work on them as much as you want off duty, and you'll be back shortly. So I returned to run the evening shift homicide squad in 1991. Then on April Fool's Day in 1995, I was transferred to supervise the homicide cold case and the crime scene unit on day shift. I remained there till May 31st of 2011. So I think that run of 31 years was probably one of the longest, absolutely not the longest, but it's a long time to be in homicide, and I was blessed with that.